All right. Yes. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. He's a friend that sticks close than a brother. He's a friend that loveth at all times. And he's a friend of sinners. Boy, he's my kind of friend. I tell you what, this old sinner needed a friend like that. I had some friends, but they's the wrong kind of friends. They's making me worse, not better. But I'll tell you right now, this friend made me better. Hallelujah, did he make me better. I'm not that man that I used to be, thanks to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, what a friend we have in Jesus.
I remember Brother Belby Barbie, he used to sing that song, Thanks to Calvary.
Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. Woo! Oh, I'll tell you what, thank God for a place called Calvary.
He could bring tears, couldn't he?
Brother Ed just held that picture up. Here's Jesus with nail holes in his hands. Yeah. And he's holding up the man with the hammer and the nails. And you know what? That's just exactly what he does. He holds us up.
Yeah.
He loves us in spite of ourselves.
Yeah.
Even though we're really hell-deserving sinners, I couldn't get to hell because he wouldn't get out of my way. He stood in my way. I couldn't figure out no way around him. Amen.
Right.
Thank God for a man named Jesus. Woo! Glory!
Amen.
This service, this Sunday school lesson, February the 19th at Landmark Baptist Church, we're so thankful to be able to put this service live stream on the internet.
Yeah.
For those of you that are home, my wife, bless her heart, she's bedfast. I wait on her hand and foot. That may be the reason she is bedfast. I love my wife. I try to make her as comfortable as I can. She done told me what to bring her when I come home, and we'll do that. But we want to pray for all of you out there that are not able to be in church for health reasons, or maybe, you know, you're just not physically able. You've got some reason. Maybe you're at work. I don't know. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'm done with my drops. But I'm glad Brother Ed had it in his heart to get this machine to be able to live stream these services.
Yeah.
I'm recording them, putting them on the internet. Of course, it's just audio only. And it's not about looking at old Brother Eddie. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're able to see and you're able to hear, you're able to see the Word of God twofold. You're able to see and hear. Amen.
That's right.
And we want to get as much of the Word of God to you as we can. Our Sunday school lesson is in Exodus chapter 4. We just finished up Exodus chapter number 3.
Yeah.
And boy, I like that latter part of chapter 3. The Lord said, I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty.
Amen.
And boy, he filled their pockets. They had worked and slaved, and God gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they borrowed of the neighbor and of him that's of her that sojourned in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And he said, you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. God made sure they got paid before he got them out of Egypt. Amen. And we know that when we get to heaven, we know that we'll get paid. The Bible says, you know, that we'll be rewarded.
Yeah.
Now, I've gave that testimony before about that golfer. I can't speak his name. Arnold Palmer played golf in Arabia. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
And the king of Arabia come out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. And Arnold Palmer done like he always did, played perfect golf. And the king had Arnold Palmer brought to him. And Arnold Palmer stood before the king of Arabia. And the king of Arabia, this is a true story, by the way. King of Arabia told Arnold Palmer, he said, I really enjoyed watching you play golf out there today. And Arnold said, well, thank you, king. And then the king said, I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer, he pretty well off. But, you know, in just, I guess in humility, he said, king, I appreciate the offer. He said, I don't really need nothing. I thank you for offering it. But the king insisted that Arnold Palmer receive his gift. And Arnold Palmer said, hey, I don't need nothing, king. I don't. I appreciate you willing to offer. But the king would not take no for an answer. And Arnold Palmer, just in a, just said, King, if you want to give me a gift, just give me a golf club. It'll be fine. Just give me a golf club. Now, Arnold Palmer, like me, he's thinking about, you know, maybe a putter or something like that. But a king does not give a small gift.
No.
And the king of Arabia gave Arnold Palmer a golf club, 18-hole swimming hole, with a swimming pool, motel. I'm talking about a king does not give a small gift.
No.
Because it's a reflection upon him. So when a king gives you a gift, it's a kingly gift. And he's going to give us our reward when we get there.
Yes.
The King of Kings is going to put a crown on our head.
Hey.
Going to say, well done. And I guess, boy, we're just going to get over our top and enjoy. And, just looking upon the greatness of the one that died for us. From the glory of His kingdom. And the Bible said we're going to cast them crowns down at His feet. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not like everybody else. I don't know what to do with the kingly gift. That's probably, well, we'll have something fit to give a king. So we'll cast those kingly crowns down at His feet.
Yeah.
Bible said He'll come and there'll be many crowns on His head. And I don't know if that's a reference to them crowns or not. But He has definitely been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when He comes, He'll have many crowns on His head. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to have a Bible. Lord, we thank You, Father, to know that it's the Word of God. We know it didn't come from man. We know the Scripture, the Bible says, came not by man, but by the Holy Ghost of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Your Word says in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it.
Yeah.
We know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, we know, Lord, Your Word says, if ye be My disciples, continue in My Word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We thank You for the Word of God today. Lord, how You put it in our hand. One of the greatest miracles of our day today is that the Word of God is still here today.
Come on now.
Oh, Lord, thank You, Lord, we have a Bible today.
Yes.
Oh, bless the hearers today and bless those that are visiting by way of the live stream. We give You praise and glory and ask Your blessings upon those that are sick today. Lord, those that we just prayed for.
Yes.
Oh, we pray for them, Father. We pray for those, Lord, that are down and out. Lord, we know times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. I pray they get in church today. I pray they get a blessing today. Lord, I pray You get a blessing today. May this little house here, this little church, may it be filled today with people that love You. May it be filled today with people that long to hear from Him, long to be in Your presence. Bless this service and bless this little church today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking about the Bible, watching the news this morning as I was preparing the Sunday school lesson, I saw where they found a Bible. Wrote down a little bit about it. Let me see if I got it right here. They found a Bible, and it's the world's oldest Bible. It's a Hebrew Bible, and it got lost, but it was found again in 1929, and they're going to put it up for auction at a New York auction. It's expected to bring $50 million. And the Bible mentions about by the truth and said it not. But you know this word, it was precious in the days of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And it's precious in our day too. Amen. Alright, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me. Now Moses got a little doubt here.
Yeah.
Nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, in this flesh, we all are like Moses. I can't.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
You know, you need to get someone else. And the Bible tells us in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 4, that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But Moses here He's just like us. He's struggling with this call of God for him to go before Pharaoh, to go to the people of God. And he's struggling with this. And Jesus said in John 15, maybe verse 6, he said, without me you can do nothing. And we can't do anything without him. But God has already chose Moses. He's already called Moses. And he's already told Moses to go stand before Pharaoh. And Moses is dragging his feet here a little bit. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now God's trying to help Moses.
Yeah.
I was listening to a preacher preach yesterday on Saturday, and he was talking about Midian and Gideon. And he was talking about Gideon wanting God to, you know, to confirm what he told him to do. And he said, I'm going to put a fleece on the ground. And he said, I want the fleece to be wet. And the fleece was wet to the point that they wrung out a bowl full of water out of it. And he said, Lord, I want to ask one more thing. Let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And the Lord granted both of those.
Yeah.
But in this case here, God's helping Moses. And he says, what is that in thine hand? And here Moses is, about like me, dumb with a box of oxen, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground.
Yeah.
Moses said, okay, if that's what you said. And he throwed that rod down on the ground down there. And the Bible said it became a serpent. I'm going to say a pretty good sized serpent. I don't know. I wasn't there. I've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, and the big old cobra snake, you know, come out there. I don't know. But it said it became a serpent. And it was pretty good size. Or either that, Moses was scared of snakes. Because it said that Moses fled from before it. I'm about like him. I'm either going to bust a snake's head or I'm running. Just being, I was dipping minnows one time down in a Lexington Drive, little old creek down there, and a big old black racer showed up, and that thing was so fast. I mean, all I wanted to do was get out of there. I tried to go to the left, and he beat me, and I tried to go to the right, and he beat me. And I took that minnow net, throwed it on that snake, and I run plumb out of my shoes. I left the minnow net, the minnow bucket. I left it all. It looked like about a 10-foot black racer. I'll tell you right now, I just like Moses, buddy. I fled. Amen. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And you're talking about snake handling. Here it is right here.
Yeah.
And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. Now, I've always wondered if that rod still looked like that snake or not. I don't know. I'm going to say it probably did.
Yeah.
But the Lord here says that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have appeared unto thee.
Yeah.
The Lord gave him this rod just to confirm that he's the man that God has chosen. And the Lord said furthermore unto him. Now he's talking about getting a man's attention.
Yeah.
Better this will get your attention.
Yeah. Right.
The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now, I know man enough know this much. We just had prayer for three men that have health issues. Jesus mentioned about, about a man's health. Said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm telling you, buddy, when it comes down to health, he'll pay every dime he's got. Yeah. He'll go to every doctor there is. He'll take every pill they offer and go through every procedure they recommend. Well, here Moses is. He pulls that hand out. It's white as snow. Now, you talking about getting attention of a yellow-bellied, a cold feet preacher here. I'm telling you right now, God has got his attention. His hand has got leprosy on it. It's white as snow. In verse 7, he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. You know, God can heal.
Yes.
He is the Lord God that healeth us.
That's right.
He raised Lazarus, been dead 4 days. The reason that Lazarus was left 4 days is because the Jews believed that you could come back alive from the dead up to 3 days.
Right.
And the Lord was wanting them to believe on him. Even though Martha didn't understand the plan of God, she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died." Jesus said, "I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't here to the intent you might believe."
Right.
But he raised Lazarus up from the dead. Yes. Hey, I'm telling you, he cleansed the lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. He healed the cripple. I'm telling you, buddy, he's the Lord God that healeth us. And our lesson Wednesday night in the book of Acts, Paul perceived that that man that was born crippled from his mother's womb, he perceived that he had faith to be healed.
Yeah.
And he said, "Stand up on thy feet." He leaped and walked.
Yeah.
Well, here Moses is here, and God's showing him that he don't have nothing to worry about. God's done showed him the sign of the serpent. God's done showed him this sign of leprosy. And you know, the Lord goes on and he says, verse 8, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." God is encouraging Moses.
Yes.
This is a pretty big task. I mean, here Moses is, he's just a shepherd boy. He'd been to Egypt before, but he fled Egypt because he killed an Egyptian that wronged one of the Hebrews. And he's got to go back, and God is building up his courage and strengthening him for this task. He said in verse 9, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land."
Yep.
Now God's given all of this to Moses to let him know that he's going to be with him and he's going to be able to accomplish this task. Now verse 10, Moses here again, he's getting cold feet. Moses said unto the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent."
Yeah.
Well, at least he's honest, amen?
Right.
He said, "Neither herefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow speech and of a slow tongue." You think Moses got God by surprise by saying that?
No.
I mean, the Bible says, and I need to read this, it came to my mind, I guess there's a reason for it. It talks about not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Hey, God not looking, my pastor said the only ability God looking for is availability. But God uses common things to do uncommon things.
God knows everything about us.
He sure does. Moses might be struggling, but God already knows.
Yeah.
He knows Moses better than Moses knew him, amen?
That's right.
But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren." See, Moses had been called of God. God called him from a burning bush.
Yeah.
And he says, "You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men." God not looking for, you know, these Einsteins, E whatever, minus 2, Q whatever. He's not looking for fleshly talent. He said, "Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here's why, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Here Moses thinks God's got the wrong man for the job. And it's okay. I understand his dilemma. When God called me to preach, I can remember tearing up saying, "Lord, are you sure?"
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to know. I wanted to know that God wanted me for sure to preach his word. Took me a little while to realize I wasn't nothing but the messenger boy. And Moses, that's all he is a messenger boy.
Right.
And every man that God calls is just a messenger boy. Some of them got prideful turkey feathers and strut around like a turkey. But some of them are humble and God can use them. And I'll tell you right now, being a preacher myself, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 years, God can use any man that will let God use him. I remember it said, my pastor said, it's yet to be seen what God can do with a man that will fully surrender to him.
Right.
You see, every man thinks I can do this by myself.
Right.
I remember hearing my pastor talking about being in a meeting and a preacher got up there full of pride. And he said, "I don't need your prayers." And he come down whipped. And one of the older preachers said, "Son, if he went up like he came down, you could have done more good."
Right.
But you know, Peter said, "Let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. If God don't give no ability, he might as well sit down."
Right.
But here Moses here contending with God. He said, "I'm of a slow speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord is quick to answer him. And he says in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth?" You know, it's like Moses thinks he's got something on God. He said, "Who you think you're talking to, Moses? I'm the one made you, boy. And not only I made you, but I made you just for what I'm calling you to do right now." But he said, "Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the sin, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" That's pretty good confirmation right there. And in verse 12, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth." That's pretty good. Moses should have said, "That's good enough for me, Lord, thank you." But it wasn't good enough. And "I'll teach you what you shall say." In other words, God said, "You ain't going to need nothing, buddy. I'm going to be your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what you shall say." And Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Take no thought what you'll say." He said, "It'd be given to you in that hour." And God always gives us what's needed.
Yeah.
If you'll stop and think about it, if you ever been talking to someone, God bring a scripture to your mind, just like he did with me just a minute ago out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about not many mighty, not many noble. God gives it to you for that very hour. It's not like I've sat here and memorized the Bible or got some great talent. Just letting God work through you. Let God use you.
Amen.
Verse 13, he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." In other words, says, get somebody else.
Yeah.
He's still trying to sidestep.
Yeah.
And, you know, Moses, God's being very patient with Moses. But his patience gets pretty slim here in a few minutes. You'll find out.
Yeah.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "It's not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother. I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Now, God's not done with Moses.
I am so glad that he extended his patience towards me. I tell you what. I rejected him so many times.
Brother,
so many times. Yeah. You know what? He kept sending that preacher out there to me. He kept sending him out there to me. I lived out in the country, and he kept sending him out there to me.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
When I read a scripture like that, it just gets my heart stirred up.
Amen, Brother Ed. I tell you what, God loves us.
Yes.
He does.
And he deals with us. He mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, he said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man."
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm glad that God's Spirit does strive with us. I tried to shake it off, about like Samson tried to shake it off, you know, and go his other times. But, you know, he just wouldn't let go. God wouldn't give up. And even here, God's not giving up. Even though Moses has made God mad, the anger of the Lord, he's kindled against Moses. But he said, "Look, I'm going to send your brother with you. You know, that may have helped Moses. Bible mentioned that Moses is one of the meekest men in the world.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of men God's looking for, to be honest with you. The meeker they are, the better God can use them. Jesus told Paul, when he gave him that thorn in the flesh, he said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness."
That's
you see,
right.
God didn't need the ability of man. Man needs the ability of God.
Yeah.
But Moses, he ain't quite got this all figured out. But verse 15, the Lord tells Moses, "And thou shalt speak unto him," talking about Aaron, his brother, "and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do." The Lord's still working with Moses. I'll tell you, God will work with you. In verse 16, "He shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God."
Right.
God's he's kind of compromising a little bit here for Moses' sake.
Yeah.
I told Brother Ed, God got Moses on board. It wasn't too long. Moses standing before Pharaoh with a finger in his face saying, "Let my people go."
Yeah.
But right now, Moses got cold feet.
Right.
But anyway, he says, verse 17, "Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs."
Yeah.
And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, to see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said unto Moses, "Go in peace." You know, God's already got Moses on board here. He's willing to go to Egypt now. And like I said, he ain't done dragging his feet. You'll see here in a minute. "And the Lord said unto Moses and Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." You know, I can kind of see this in my mind's eye. Here's Moses. He's finally on board. He's got his wife on board. He's got his children here. And they're headed to Egypt. And the Lord tells Moses, he said unto Moses, "When thou goest into Egypt, see that thou do all of those wonders before Pharaoh which I put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Now, like I said, Moses is getting ready to get cold feet right here. God just told Moses, "You're going to say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Verse 23, "And I say unto thee, let my son go." That's a little bit pretty bold.
Yeah.
And here Moses is a meek man. And the Lord's telling him he's going to stand before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Verse 24, "And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." You see, Moses is dragging his feet. He was on board. Over here, you know, in verse number 20, but this is getting a little bit more personal.
He got cold feet, didn't he?
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, God's called him to do a big thing.
I know.
And he's looking at this in the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
He done tried to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, boy, he's dragging his feet, and God ain't happy with that.
No.
Verse 24 says, "And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him."
Mm-hmm.
Moses, he's still working to himself and not to God for this task. Me and Brother Ed, we used to read before the Sunday school lesson we would read excerpts out of a book called Voices from Eternity.
Yeah.
One of the testimonies in that book was a young Mennonite boy. And his father had been called to preach. And his father wouldn't accept the call of God to preach. And they had been burying sons after sons after sons. This little boy's name was Will. And Will kind of showed his father that he needed to accept the call of God upon his life. And his father did accept the call of God. Well, in this case right here, Moses is, you know, he's kind of dragging his feet. God is mad. God met him and sought to kill him. I'll tell you right now, if God's called you, you better step up to the plate, buddy. I forgot how many sons they buried in that family. But Will got through to his father,
yes.
And his father got enough backbone to accept the call of God on his life.
Yeah.
Verse 25, thank God for Moses' wife. You know, she's the wife of a Levite. Remember me telling you about a Levite priest? Wait a minute, a priest here had seven daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on here a minute. She might not be a Levite. But she's the daughter of a priest. Here we go, Exodus chapter number 2, verse 16. The priest of Midian, which is Jethro, had seven daughters. And they came to drew water. And here, Moses' wife, she's a priestly daughter. And she took a sharp stone. I hunt Indian arrowheads. I can tell you right now, they are a sharp stone.
Yes. Was Jethro, was he a Levite?
Jethro was a priest, which was his father-in-law. Zephariah is Jethro's daughter, which is Moses' wife.
Yeah.
But she took a sharp stone. I'm going to say that's probably flint. And cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord mentions about blood.
Yeah.
And he said, when I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you.
Yeah.
Well, God has got Moses here, and he's about ready to kill him. And Moses' wife knows enough about God, being a daughter of a priest,
yeah,
she circumcises their son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Boy, thank God for Zechariah. I want you to know the Lord saw that blood. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. God saw that blood. I'm glad the blood's been applied to me. Hey, I'm telling you, buddy. I'm telling you. Thank God for the blood. The blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now when God looks on me, He don't see me. He sees the blood applied. I'm accepted in the Beloved because of the blood. The blood paid the price that I could not pay. I could have shed my blood, yes, but my blood wouldn't pay the price of my debt. I want you to know the blood of His Son Jesus. Peter said we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. It's hard to teach without preaching right here. It's pretty good territory. God saw that blood, and God let him go. I like that verse 26, so he let him go. I want you to know God had a hold of Moses.
Yeah.
Moses, boy, I tell you what, buddy, thank God for his wife Zephariah. She took action, amen.
Yeah, she did.
She didn't run off. She done what needed to be done. Verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went, met him on in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Verse 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Let me back up on that blood. You know, you can go back. Genesis chapter 4. Here's two boys.
Yeah.
One's Abel. One's Cain.
Right.
Abel brings first out of the flock blood. God accepted it. Cain brings his good works. I'm going to say, you know, he probably, somebody said you can't get blood out of a turnip. I don't know that he had turnips. But, you know, if he did have turnips, Sharon, I'm going to say he had them things polished up. You can see your face in them.
Yeah.
Maybe he had turnips. Maybe he had carrots. Maybe he had apples. I don't know. But he brought his good works. And as good as they were, Brother Jerry, that's probably best looking stuff ever was. God had no respect to Cain's offering. And Cain got big and mad. You know, most of the world is just like Cain. They want to offer their works to God. Let me tell you something, buddy. You need to listen to this man. I'm 100% born again saved. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I'm 100% called of God to preach. No doubt about it. You can't get blood out of being baptized. You can't get blood out of joining the church. You can't get blood, I'm telling you, out of nothing but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Yeah.
The wrath of God abide upon him. Don't stand before God without the blood.
Amen.
Because if you stand before him without the blood, you'll hear these words, which are mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. I don't care how good your resume is. I don't care if you drove the bus, taught Sunday school. I don't care if you're the pastor of a church. If you've never been born again by the blood of his son Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to stand good when you stand before God. Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Yeah, I prayed the Lord have his way here this morning. And I believe he took me up on that. Amen. Oh my. But here it says, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel.
Yeah.
And Aaron spake all the words. You know what? I prayed for this church. And I named what I could name about 30 other churches. And then I said, Lord, all the churches. You know, the church, the Lord ought to be exalted.
Yes.
Not only in teaching and preaching, but in songs and testimony.
Yeah.
Would hurt my feelings today if somebody jumped up and said, hey, Brother Eddie, give me just a second. I just want to thank the Lord for forgiving me my sin, for saving my soul, for blessing me, being so good to me. Don't bother me a bit. Hey, we'll take an intermission. Hey, we'll run out around the church three or four times and do like you did down at Jericho. If need be, I'll just tell you. I prayed already. God bless this service today. Amen.
Yes.
And here, Moses and Aaron, they went. They went to Egypt. And in Egypt, they gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. We've already made recommendation for Patrick Cherry and Danny Tibbs to be set aside for deacons. This church, we need elders. We need leaders.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how long old Brother Eddie's going to be around. I'm not going to leave the church, but I'm going to leave this world. And I'm supposed to be here. That's why I am here. Amen.
Right.
And I'm glad to be your pastor.
Amen.
I have no greater ambition than to be the best pastor Landmark Baptist Church could ever have. I may not be, but I have a desire to be.
You are.
I want to be the best that I can be for this little church. There are greater men, I know that. But as long as I'm here, I want to be the best I can be for this church. I fit in here real good. I'm just a little preacher. And this is a little church trying to do a great work.
Yeah.
And anyway, like I said, we set aside. Danny, he wasn't here last Sunday. You got nominated to be set aside for a deacon for this church, you and Patrick Cherry. Every church needs leadership.
Yes.
And me and Brother Ed,
And
we've worked together.
You can blame me for that, Danny. Huh? You can blame me for that.
We know we're both old.
Yeah.
We're not going to be around forever. But we're looking to these two men. They're both highly qualified.
Oh, yeah.
Both young, love the Lord, got great talent.
Yeah.
We just put our eyes on them. We agreed, me and Brother Ed, been on this discussion for a while.
Yeah.
We made the recommendation last Sunday that they be assigned to be deacons. I'm on board already. And we'll do it in a business-like way. And we want to, you know, give them a little time there to make up their mind about it. I mean, we've already made our mind up. But and Chad, Brother Patrick told me that he was on board. And we're not forcing this on Brother Danny.
No.
Nor are we forcing it on Brother Patrick. But we have highly recommended these two men to be deacons in this church. And here Moses and Aaron, they've gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. See, it's easier to speak to leadership than it is to speak to millions of people. And there were millions of these Hebrews in Egypt. And the elders, they met with Moses and Aaron. Verse 30, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, listen, all of that's good. But Pharaoh's not going to just let them go.
No.
And this sounds like it's a done deal, and it is. And it sounds like it's going to be a cakewalk, but it's not.
No.
But I will say this. Moses and Aaron got through to the elders and through the people, and all the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You know, the Lord has looked upon our affliction. I don't know about you, but we're in a modern day Egypt right now.
Yeah.
It should not be like it is. In this day, it was more for less. I do the math on that. You know, I worked for a living for about 60 years, somehow finally retired, and it's still quite a struggle. But I worked for a paycheck.
Yeah.
That paycheck was attacked. They took out taxes. They would penalize you. The more you made, the more they take. Well, this is a modern day Egypt. This is not heaven on earth. In heaven, everything's free. Down here, I'm telling you, pay through the nose. And I'm telling you, if you borrow money, are they going to charge you through the nose?
Oh.
Well, here, they had heard this good news. They were happy. They bowed their head and they worshiped. It was good news. Proverbs 25:25 says it's cold waters to a thirsty soul. So it's good news from a far country. This was good news. But like I said, Pharaoh ain't on board. This ain't going to be a one-night deal. Exodus chapter 5. And afterwards, now they done got on board. They've worshiped. Man, they're happy. They're believing. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." I'm just going to guess Moses and Aaron come up there like this right here. "Let my people go." And Pharaoh looks at them and says, "Are you kidding me?" Now, the next verse tells us right here that Moses and Aaron wasn't expecting this, but here's what they got for their command. Verse 2, and Moses said, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, they probably expected some resistance, but you're going to find out there was a lot of resistance. So here, they're going to start doing these miracles. And Pharaoh's just going to get harder and harder in his heart and more unwilling to comply or let the people go. Verse 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews. You ever try to tell somebody about God? They look at you like a calf looking at a new gate and say,
yeah,
you know, that may be good for you, but it ain't good for me. I'm okay. I'm like Frank Sinatra. I'm going to do it my way. You know, when you try to convey to someone about God, someone that you know, when you try to convey to them, they're not always going to get right on board. We need to stop right here. I'm looking back at the time. I got here early this morning. I'm running a little fast, I guess, today. But Pharaoh here, he's not on board with the command to let the people go. He's not on board with them saying, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Pharaoh's sitting there saying, oh, is that right? Okay. I'm just telling you, he's not on board. And all that they're saying and all that they're doing is met with, you know, denial. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? We'll stop right there. Verse 4. But you know, not only is Pharaoh not on board, but he's fixing to make the matters worse for the people of Israel, the Hebrews. And like I said, down here, this ain't heaven down here. Somebody wrote a song. Down here the burden's heavy. I don't remember the words of that. But that is true. Down here, but it's a far cry from heaven. And down here we carry a load in each hand. Down here we're laboring and looking and hoping that the Lord will come soon and get us out of down here. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for the lesson this morning. And I ask you to bless the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll stop right there. Well, if old Eddie could hit the button, there we go.